Episode number 304.
Standing desk, people say, oh, yeah. Well, standing isn't the opposite of sitting. You know, moving is the opposite of sitting.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy is always fired up, and I'm thinking about the fuego. I'm thinking about getting you fired up for the day and keeping you motivated through your weeks and months. But today, I think you're going to want to think about how you sit, how you maybe stand, how you get through your day, and what active and not being active is, because we're all doing a lot of sitting these days. And I'm bringing you guys an expert, someone that has seen this in many different ways and then created a business around this, guys. I'm bringing you Mr. Dr. Turner Osler. Dr. Turner, are you ready to be real?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. He is ready, folks. And we are bringing the fuego. Friends, he is a retired academic traumatic surgeon, and turned his research epidemiologist and turned it into a company, guys. He is the CEO and founder of QOR 360, and they've specialized in specifically active seating, guys, as we're all sitting a lot. I'm even sitting here, but thank God next to me, I got a walking treadmill, but we're all sitting a lot in our offices, in our schools. Everyone's working from home now and sitting different ways, but we need to be thinking about the way we sit and how it affects our bodies. And so he has taken his knowledge and turned it into a business, as well as he's still an educator, right, sir? You're still an educator?
I still teach at the university.
So he's a busy person, folks. He's someone that leaves no time in the day to be unused, someone that I am so excited to hear his story. But tell us a little bit, Dr. Turner, about your interest into the physical human body.
Well, I went to medical school back in the 70s and, you know, became intimate with the human body, taking it apart in the anatomy lab. And then I got my boards in general surgery and my fellowship in trauma surgery. So I had a lot of experience putting human bodies back together in the operating room, sewing up gunshot wounds, car crashes, burns, stuff like that.
Right.
So I spent my life with the human body, and the more time you spend with it, the more amazing it is. It's astonishing what elegance is built into the human body. Mm. And so, you know, my career was trying to restore people to being whole, and you know, it was good. I operated for 25 years, but you know, as you get older, staying up all night, you can still stay up all night, but the next day is kind of a mess. So I sort of transitioned from being a workaday trauma surgeon to being a research epidemiologist. I got a grant from the NIH for a few million dollars. I got a master's degree in biostatistics, and I started doing research on what separated trauma centers with really good results from trauma centers with less good results, trying to help the laggards and discover what was really best in the care of traumatic patients. And so I would spend my days suddenly, instead of as a trauma surgeon, you know, it's the OR, it's the ICU, it's the clinic, and back to the OR, down to the ER, and you're just running all day long, right, which is good exercise. But when I started doing epidemiology, you just plunk yourself down in front of a computer and write computer code all day. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, my back started to hurt.
Wow.
And I thought, well, what's up with that, you know? And I knew people had back pain because as a resident in the ER, you know, people would come in howling about how their backs hurt. And we take x-rays and we get a CT scan and we scratch right, but there's just nothing to see.
Yeah.
You know, and we knew that they were going to be fine in a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, and we just give them some pain pills and forget about it, because nobody dies of back pain.
Right.
But I was kind of dismissive because I didn't realize exactly how awful it was until I had it.
Wow.
And I thought, boy, oh boy, this is a real problem. And so the more I looked into it, the bigger problem it is. Back pain affects 80% of Americans at some point in their lives.
Wow.
Badly enough that they seek professional care. That works out to be $100 billion a year spent on back pain. That's right up there with cancer and heart disease. I mean, it's an immense problem. And the thing that's so astonishing is we don't even know what hurts. You know, is it the discs, is it facet joints? we don't actually know.
Because you can't see a physical damage. You're not able to see damage. It's some sort of just pain and ailment that's going on.
No, and you know, and it's not even inflammation. You know, it's just, and so. Wow. Western medicine hasn't done a very good job with this, and I'll have to say that, you know, alternative medicine hasn't done a very good job either, because nobody really understands what it is. But as I started to, like, you know, really wonder, it turns out that the key really comes from anthropologists, who've noticed that other cultures don't have nearly the rate of back pain that we have in Western culture. And it turns out that cultures that still sit in traditional ways, they kneel or they squat or they sit cross-legged on the ground, have much, much lower rates of back pain than people who sit in our crappy Western chairs, slumped all day long, 8 or 10 or even 12 hours. The average American sits 8 or 9 hours a day.
Yeah.
I mean, think of that. How is that even possible? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, in the car on the way to work, the PC at work, the PC at home watching. It's bedtime. It's bedtime. Right? Yeah. So we spend all of our time sitting, but we are not designed to sit, right? We're hunter-gatherers. We're supposed to be out chasing rabbits and running from jackals.
Right.
So you take this brilliant design that's optimized for hunting and gathering, and you plunk it down in a chair in front of a computer for 8 hours a day. And the spine is a pretty brilliant thing, and it'll hold up for a year or 5 or 10 years or a decade or two. But ultimately, it fails most of us in the same way. We get back pain, and then it's a real problem. Mm. So as you dive into it, the answer is that we shouldn't be doing all this sitting. The problem is that pretty much if you're going to inhabit the 21st century, you have to sit, right? You can't even look out a window unless you're in a chair, because if you're on the floor, the window's too high. I mean, chairs are assumed. If you go to a restaurant and say, I'm not going to sit in that death trap chair of yours, the maitre d' will show you the door, because, you know, it's just assumed that we're all okay with chairs. But we are not okay with chairs. Chairs are really a terrible idea. Yeah. So I was, you know, I came up through the ranks of epidemiology. I was a student of Susan Baker at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. And Sue was very firm with us. She said, you know, you cannot shame people. You cannot blame people. You cannot harangue people into better behavior. Mm. You have to redesign their environment in a way that makes it impossible for them to behave badly. So you can yell at people about driving badly, but you're much smarter to put in a divider down the middle of the highway so people can't hit each other head on at 60 miles an hour. So taking Sue's advice to heart and her really crucial insight, we thought we have to make a chair that allows people to move while they're sitting. More than that, it has to require them to move while they're sitting. Mm. And it turned out that it's not so easy, because we wanted to make one so inexpensive that everybody could have one. So, you know, I got no business doing any of this. You know, I'm a washed up trauma surgeon. I don't have any design credentials. I only have a couple of patents, but I fell in with a group of really talented designers at a makerspace here in Burlington, Vermont. Oh, nice. And they could see I had a good idea, but I was hopeless. Right. And so they said, "Doctor, let us help you." And so, you know, pretty quickly these guys took me in, and they had real design chops. They trained at Pratt in New York City, and, you know, they knew a lot. And so very quickly we had designs that were perfectly presentable, and we worked out this idea for making a chair unstable that's really as simple as this piece of geometry.
Gotcha.
If you put it under the seat pan of a chair, it rocks, and if you put the seat pan on top of it, it rocks. Because they're 90 degrees opposed, it allows you to rock in every direction.
Gotcha.
And because it's just a shape, it doesn't wear out. There's nothing to replace, and it's not expensive to make. We injection mold these things right here in Milton, Vermont, Dennis and Marie's injection molding factory. So, you know, the two made out of two pieces that are identical, so that the mold costs $20,000. So you want to be sure that it's just one piece that is used twice to make the shape.
Right.
Anyway, so we've been selling these things now over the web, and we've sold about 4,000 of them this year. So this year we grossed over $1 million just firing these things out from our warehouse in Morristown, Vermont.
And how are you selling them online?
Yeah. So we don't have much of an ad budget, so I did a TED talk, and I've the Wall Street Journal did a piece on us, the Boston Globe did a piece on us, podcasts like yours, Travis.
Let's go.
The earned media's people have been very accommodating because they hear the story. You know, this is actually a public health emergency. Right. I mean, the business of sitting passively doesn't just ruin your posture and cause muscle atrophy of your core strength and back pain. It actually changes your biochemistry. You know, your muscles aren't just motor units that move your bones. They're actually incredibly complicated biochemical factories that change the composition of your serum. So if you sit hunched with your muscles gone dark all day long, your bad cholesterol goes up, your good cholesterol goes down, your insulin goes up, and your all-cause mortality goes up.
Wow.
Epidemiologists have worked out that sitting slumped in a chair 8 hours a day will take as much as 2 years off your life.
Oh, my God.
No, that is a lot,
that's
right?
A lot. Yeah, of course, because we don't have so much time, guys. We only got so much time here.
And so, you know, and it's not an issue if you're a hunter-gatherer. It's just that we are not adapted to the life that we have created for ourselves. Right. And our, you know, evolution isn't fast enough to let us catch up. Mm. So we have to use our built environment to make our environment safe for us. And turns out safe for us is a chair that lets you keep moving while you're sitting.
Got you.
Just as though you were walking as a hunter-gatherer.
Got you. So now, it doesn't have that foundational, like, kind of fixed feeling of a hard chair. It kind of is always adapting to your
exactly. It makes it a lot easier to reach for the stapler or whatever. But it also requires that you subtly rebalance your posture, really millisecond to millisecond. Yes. And because your spinal reflexes do this automatically, you actually automatically just adopt basically a perfect posture, you know, with your spine aligned as it should be. And so we've gotten a lot of emails from people saying, you know, I was in agony. I was going to have to quit my job. I just couldn't sit anymore. My back was killing. Your chair shows up. I'm perfect.
Wow.
I mean, it's you know, I'm a career researcher. I have over 300 peer-reviewed publications on my CV. I review for a bunch of surgical journals. I have a master's in biostatistics. So it troubles me, you know, when we get emails from people saying your chair is terrific, it solved my problems. Because, you know, you have to be very careful of that sort of situation because it's what you want to believe.
Right.
Richard Feynman, who got a Nobel Prize back in the 70s for his work in quantum mechanics, famously said, the first thing is you must not fool yourself. Mm. And unfortunately, you are the easiest person to fool because, you know, you have a dog in whatever fight it is that you're working on. So, but I'm gradually becoming persuaded that, you know, we really do make a difference in people's posture and really their back pain situation.
Well, is there a way to also maybe conduct additional research around that to then provide some more continued statistics? I mean, you have 400 amazing, you've already created a lot of success stories, right? So not only can you market those, but then I know that that's one of Mark Cuban's biggest things is like people that throw around statistics and all these things that can't be proven. If there's a way of proving it, then you really have even a bigger case for governments and things like that to provide these for their employees. Companies that have thousands and thousands of employees, that this is just another reason why they need to do this for the health of their employees.
Right. No, the average company spends $250 per employee per year on back pain.
Wow.
If you could solve that problem for them, I mean, you know, that would be huge. We somehow got on some internal mailing list at Google, and Google provides a stipend for their company employees who work from home to upgrade their home office. And we were the top of the internal list of better things to have in your home office. Nice. And really within weeks, we got hundreds of orders from the 54 Google sites around North America. You know,
wow.
So as soon as you give employees the choice of ordering one of our chairs, they just fly off the shelves. And we tell people, you know, if you don't like it, send it back. We're not trying to stick you with a chair for crying out loud. Just send it back and we'll give your money back. We'll pay the shipping both ways. And with that offer, we get 4 or 5% returns. So, and you know, so That's 95% of people love our chairs.
Right, because you're weeding out all the riffraff. At that point, you're saying, hey, if you don't like this thing, just send it back. No cost to you, no problem. There's always going to be a certain percentage of people that return things, that are never happy, that you never can make happy.
Well, the industry standard for returns, as you may know, is something like 30 or 40%
on
items. No, and it's a secret that Amazon doesn't want anybody to know, that all this stuff comes back, and reshelving it is too big of a problem, so most of it goes into a landfill.
Yeah, and a lot of it, they also, guys, they buy it wholesale. You can go and buy pallets of stuff that's been returned on Amazon that they don't even want to deal with, and they just... You get this pallet for $5,000. And sometimes, you know, guys buying these pallets that are now making leverage and making money.
On Etsy.
Yeah. Repackaging it open and opening it up and then reselling it on eBay, Etsy, Amazon again. They resell it back on Amazon, the thing they just bought off of Amazon. But yeah, I mean, it's a great point, is it, that, you know, a lot of these businesses, they, you know, they've got so much going on that they don't even really worry about the returns. But if you're a startup, you got to worry about the returns, guys, because that's your cash. And also, like you said, I think it really validates the fact that you're an amazing product if you've given someone such a compelling offer to return it and then they don't. You know,
right, exactly. And because, you know, I do research for a living at the university here at the University of Vermont. So, you know, I know how to set up a double blind crossover,
yes,
blah, 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 Fisher's exact test, you know, and how to do a power. But you need hundreds of people sitting on these chairs for many months. And then you need to do careful follow-up, and then you need to do the math, and you need to have it done by somebody else. I can't do this research because that just doesn't seem right.
Right.
So it's not easy to get academics, up and running with these kinds of projects, because they need a spare graduate student, and they need funding, and this and that. The NIH did have a request for proposals, so we're hopeful that we'll have serious research done on our chairs sometime soon.
Right.
But this stuff takes way longer than you might imagine.
Yeah, I could only imagine. I can only feel that will even be the next validating factor to even a bigger success with the company. I think already on its own, the organic traffic, the fact that you just get on Facebook's internal email list, or you get on the next, organic viral blog or a podcast that sends you to the next person that buys for another, you know, big company that they buy everyone's chairs for their next new building.
Well, our big deal has been just word of mouth. That's basically when we've surveyed people who buy our chairs, it's mostly word of mouth.
Yep.
Because, you know, we get out there through earned media or a TED talk or I don't know what, and then people just like, oh, this is great. And talk to each other.
Yeah.
But I have the feeling that it's the whole business of sitting actively is about to take off because, I know a few other companies, the CEOs of a few other companies who make active furniture. One of them is the guys at Fully, who took out a Super Bowl ad for the Super Bowl last night.
Yep.
So, they had a great ad for, you know, their chairs that allow people to move while they're sitting. We think our chair is better, but you know,
that's cool for you, man. And that helps you guys, man. That's
the fact that active sitting has gotten big enough to have a Super Bowl ad, I think proves that, you know, beyond our return rate of 5%, if there's a Super Bowl ad on this thing, it really is going to take off. And it needs to, because as I say, 80% of America winds up going to seek a physician's help for back pain at some point in their lives.
Yeah.
This is an immense problem. And the way it's going to be solved is by changing the way people sit.
Yeah. I got to get one, guys. I got this comfy chair right here to my right. Here is my walking treadmill. I got that before the pandemic, the Nordic Track walking treadmill, which is a great way to just stay active and also get on my laptop. But I usually can't do it for more than 2 hours, to be transparent with you. 2 hours walking and working, it's just at that point you're like, I got to sit down or do something else.
No, and it's hard to mouse accurately while you're on a treadmill.
100.
And many people can't have a treadmill in their office space because their office mates complain or this or that. But by making a chair's pan, a seat pan, unstable, you know, it's quiet. You hardly notice, but your core muscles notice. We tell people, if you get one of our chairs, start slow, 15 or 30 minutes the first day, and then kind of work up, because people are way more deconditioned than they can imagine, because this business of sitting slumped all day results in your muscles just evaporating. Hippocrates said, "That which is used develops, and that which is not used wastes away." And if you sit slumped all day, you know, your core muscles, your transversalis, your internal and external oblique, your multifidus, all these muscles, you know, become very thinned out. You know, I've done surgery on such people, and you know, is this the internal oblique or is this the transversalis? It's so filmy you can hardly tell which muscle it is, for crying out loud. So it is the case that, you know, you get the body that you deserve, and that functions in your environment. And if you're not doing anything, your body just cannibalizes its muscles because it's not using them. Right. But by making a chair active, people are using their core muscles constantly.
And what do these usually run, just so we know price point wise?
So our goal is to put these things under as many people as we possibly can. We sell one for $350. You know, that's shipping included and guaranteed. If you don't like it, we'll take it back.
Right.
And, you know, you can buy a cheaper office chair at Staples, but you'll regret it.
Right. And do you see you guys being able to eventually bring the price down? Or do you think that you'll always stay in that kind of more? It's still kind of has to be a premium.
No, our founding documents are that anytime we can find a way to bring down our costs based on economies of scale, we're going to bring down the price.
Yeah.
I'm an epidemiologist, and I'm trying to solve an epidemiologic problem.
Right.
We'll make enough money. I'm not too worried. My retirement's paid up, for Christ's sake.
You're still working, man. You're still working. You got the education job too, man.
And my wife's a rheumatologist. You know, we're in the business of just trying to get these things under as many people as we can. You know, I'm 70 years old. I got to pick up the pace.
Let's go. We got to help them, guys. Let's go. We're going to get it this year. But like I said, I think you mentioned it too. I think that with the stay at home movement, if you want to call it that, people have trying to find ways to hack upon their dime. This is just another great way, guys, of also staying healthy, but also working out in a way. You said it, guy. You said it, my man, in that your body is not getting these little active movements that you get in a stable chair, and you're missing out on the ability to be kind of working out like I am on my treadmill and work. And that's going to be huge. If you do that every day, like anything, like you said, you know, you start small, you start with 15, 20 minutes, but the next thing you know, you can do 2-3 hours and you'll be even stronger, guys.
You know, and we did have the ergonomics people at Cornell University at the human ecology lab, you know, test our chairs for mousing and typing accuracy, because we were interested in whether, you know, moving your core around would affect either your typing speed or your mousing accuracy. Neither is affected. So our chairs are much less of an imposition on your motor skills than a treadmill.
Got you. Yeah. Cause that is one of the hardest things. I will not lie to you guys. Even at a 1 speed, which is the lowest speed I can go at, because that's like kind of efficient. I've gotten used to it over the time, but it's definitely its own skill to be able to learn how to type and write and respond.
No, and you hear a lot of other solutions. Oh, I have a yoga ball. Well, you know, yoga balls people can perfectly well slump all day on, and they are forbidden in many institutions because it's not a question of if a yoga ball is going to fail, it's when. They're all made out of just cheap plastic, and they all pop sooner or later.
Right.
University of Michigan has 30,000 employees, and they've banned the yoga ball because they've had head injuries. They've had, you know,
totally.
I mean,
you could totally see that. Or someone tripping on one or something
right.
like that.
So if you're gonna allow yoga balls, you have to put them all in the garbage on January 1st and buy all new, because a yoga ball that's less than a year old is much less likely to pop.
Gotcha.
But really, when a yoga ball pops, it doesn't matter if you're trained in martial arts. You are on the ground so fast that it's really very tough to respond. So yoga balls are out. Standing desk, people say, oh, yeah. Well, standing isn't the opposite of sitting. You know, moving is the opposite of sitting. You watch people at a standing desk, they're not doing Tai Chi. They got a hip locked in. They're leaning on it.
Right.
And the blood is pooling in their legs. You measure the circumference of their calf at the end of a day, and they've added an inch. They have pitting edema, you know, and it's not just ugly. It turns out that people who stand instead of sit have twice the heart attack rate. Paper out of the American Journal of American Journal of Epidemiology, 2018, Smith and all followed 7,600 patients for 10 years. Very big study, very well done, P less than 0.001. They're not exactly sure why it is that standing desks kind of bump up the heart attack rate, but it's twice what it is for sitting, and sitting is already terrible.
Right.
So the whole, the idea that,
oh, you're good.
The idea that you know, standing desks would somehow get around the problem is just completely wrong. And we've given standing desk a pass based on no research.
Right.
But now that we have some research, Smith et al., 2018, we know that they are a substantial cardiac risk. Mm. So for all these reasons, you know, we think active sitting is really the thing that's going to save our bacon.
I'm going to have to get this chair, guys. I'm getting the chair. I'm looking at it. I'm going to be getting this thing. Now we're about to take you, my man, into our top 10. Are you ready? Let's go. Apple or Android?
Android.
Android. Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
YouTube. Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Instagram. What's your Instagram handle if we can give you a shout out there?
At QOR360.
At QOR360. Let's go. Put them in the show notes. Chicken or steak?
Chicken.
Chicken. Laptop or smartphone?
Laptop.
Laptop. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Spotify. Tons of good stuff on there now. Movies and or video games?
Movies.
Reading
I may books? Be the only person in North America who has never played a video game. I flew a flight simulator back at Princeton in the 60s, but I really haven't done much with it since.
Yeah, Dave, and I, someone that has played video games in my younger days, have completely changed, and I'd be so out of touch, I don't even know what the heck to do, guys. So shout out to you guys that do hack on those video games, because they have they are incredible now what they can do. Reading books or listening to books?
Reading
books.
Faster.
I agree. If you have the complete uninterrupted time, reading books always wins. Stocks or real estate?
Index funds, stocks.
Index funds, baby. Let's go. Let's get it. Do you have a favorite index fund? You go with the general market?
You know, I buy a few. Vanguard has the lowest rates.
I like Vanguard. The VG, guys, is the Vanguard, or it's VG or VT, is the Vanguard Total World. You can get the whole entire world at your fingertips. Oceans or lakes if you're thinking about vacation?
You know, I think about oceans all the time, but I think that's because I live on a lake.
Yeah, you do. You live on a lake. And they say something about, my dad was talking about reading books about the water, being their stuff of water brings so many more health benefits and mental clarity, et cetera. Just being able to see water each day, whether that's in a bath, running water, an ocean, or a beautiful lake. And give your lake a shout out, because we'll give it a shout out.
Lake Champlain, you know,
Champlain.
It has so many moods, you know. It's just terrific to be able to watch it minute by minute.
And you're close enough to see New York and some of the action going on there. But like you said, the vastness of a lake is incredible. When you wake up in the morning, you're getting yourself ready, getting your mindset ready. Why do you love being you?
Why do I love being me? Because I get to work with terrific kids.
Boom! Let's go! Do you think you'll ever retire?
I think I'm going to die first.
Let's go! I like that. Keep the mind going. Keep that Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger mentality.
These kids will keep you sharp and they'll keep you young. You may know this, but if you take an old rat that's just like dragging around with bedraggled whiskers and you do microvascular surgery and hook up its circulation to an HLA identical young rat and just let their blood mix for a day or two. Within 2 days, the old rat has got nice sleek whiskers and is back on the treadmill. You know, just being around and swapping blood
so
brings
true.
Youth.
Keeping that energy going. They're constantly teaching you new things. And I remember someone that has passed, but Dr. Sam Bhatia would say, he was telling me about basically, you know, the mind's basically the synapses in your mind. As you go just to retirement mode, they all kind of just slowly stop connecting as much, and you stop being, you know, needing to learn new things. And all of a sudden your brain kind of turns into a state of mush in a way.
No, when I was in medical school, they taught that you were born with a certain number of neurons in your brain. They kept dying. And pretty soon, you know, when you got older, you had an empty skull. Right. This turns out not to be true. As long as you're learning new stuff, you're actually growing new neurons.
That's what it is, guys. So never stop learning. That's one of my favorite quotes from Charlie Munger, is life is a life full of learning. Do you have a routine to start your day?
Yeah, I get up early with my wife, who has to go into her clinic just to kind of keep her company. And then, I get the wood stove going in the winter, as it is. And I get in 20 minutes of Zazen meditation. I do 20 minutes of Tai Chi, and then I start with my email.
My dad loves Tai Chi. He's been doing it for years. How long have you been doing Tai Chi for?
You know, I'm just a wannabe. I've only been at it a couple of years. It's a lifetime practice. But already I was given this. My Tai Chi teacher says, his Tai Chi teacher taught him that the back on your chair is for hanging your coat. If you feel like you need to lean against it, you should go home and take a nap.
Nice. That is a good one. That's a great analogy. I love that. Yeah, Tai Chi is one of those very slow moving exercises that's great not only for the mind but the balance. But then if you ever need those skills, wha-bam, you got them, baby. So, yeah, I love that. I love that. I'm thinking I need to pick up Tai Chi, something to go along with meditation, something different that's not crazy fast-paced moving, which I love doing, but something that's slow. Slow movements, guys. I love that. Tai Chi. Do you have a favorite app on your phone or a favorite tool you like using on a daily basis?
Well, there are apps that allow us to run our business wherever we are. So we just made a little video with ShipStation and UPS. They were looking for a case study, and they picked our startup. And
their
software makes it possible for us to run our business while we're running errands. It's very cool.
Isn't that the coolest thing? The incredible thing about technology is, like, you can be making sales and then processing sales, and it all happens, and you can be checking on your phone, and, you know, oh, how are things going today? Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Things are going out. Things are going. Let's go, baby.
I have friends who have their phone set up so every time they sell something, the phone goes ka-ching.
Ka-ching, baby. Yeah, the ka-ching sound. I love that sound on the Shopify websites. We got the ka-ching. Ba-boom, I got a sale. Let's go. A couple last questions for you, sir. If you could sit down to a lovely dinner with anyone in the world, who would you want to sit down with?
I want to sit down with the CEO of Steelcase.
Steelcase? Why would you like to sit down with him?
Because they make all the office furniture in the world, and I need to straighten him out.
Really? Steelcase? We're going to put them in the Twitter or something. We're going to see if find a way we can strike up that conversation. You never know. It's happened actually a few times, guys. You know, we can't get to necessarily Elon Musk, but we can get to some other maybe different levels. I could see, you know, continually growth and success with you guys, maybe possibly even an acquisition at some point, obviously, because – let's just be real. That's what most likely is going to even take it to that whole nother level, is a huge acquisition with you guys, so that someone can, a greater partner can then distribute it to even more places. And obviously that would be a win for you guys and your team too. But if not, keep grinding and keep doing it on your own. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing it on your own. And you got another sale from me. I got to find one. I got to get one. I got to find. Look at the website today, guys. Can you give our listeners where's the best place for them to check out the chair? Where's the best place for them to take a look at it?
Really, the best place and the only place is QOR360.com. Like QOR, like core. We couldn't get it. We had to take a Q because all the C's were taken.
Oh, that's a good idea.
360, like 360 degrees, QOR360.com. It's a website. I have a blog there where I kind of explain some of the details about the pathophysiology and, you know, intermediary lipid stuff no one cares about. But we also have nice pictures of the chairs and videos of people, you know, kind of explaining how the chair works for them.
Right. And anyone that is working from home and maybe has experienced back pain and is wondering what the heck this is, my man, Dr. Turner Osler has literally given us the layup, guys. This, we need to think about active seating. And it's a small investment, and sometimes even our companies will pay for it. So see if your company has a stipend for this. And if not, you know, take a little bit of money out of your pocket in one of your stock wins, or take a little bit out of your pocket in your next, you know, 30 Starbuckses and put it in yourself, guys. Have coffee at home for the next 30 days and you can literally buy one of these things, or maybe 60 days. But the point is, it's not very long and you can own one. And it's probably going to be one of the better investments you put into yourself. Doctor, I really appreciate you. I love your story. Not only are you an incredibly smart gentleman and incredibly, you know, profound things you've done in your life, how you're helping, you know, give back to the students, the research you've done, but then now how you're helping people, maybe for the future generations, for my daughter and my son that's not even here yet, he's coming in May, they might ever sit in one of these old school seats. They may always sit in some sort of different type of active seat.
Speaking of kids, we have a version of our chair that we give away to schools.
Oh, wow.
It has its own website. It's the Button Chair, B-U-T-T-O-N. chairs.com, buttonchairs.com, like,
wow.
Button. It's a cool design that can be made with a CNC router out of plywood. Our plan, and actually in Taiwan and Australia, places all over the world are making these active chairs for kids that, you know, they're awesome. Made out of four pieces of plywood that lock together with a joint that we invented, and they use we started out using a tennis ball to make the seat unstable, but when we tested it in schools here in Burlington, the kids were wearing out tennis balls, so we switched to lacrosse balls. Let's see the little buggers wear those out. Yeah,
that's a little bit harder to wear out there.
Yeah, so anyway, it's four pieces of plywood that fit together and turn into a chair when you hit it with a rubber mallet.
That is cool. So you are a man that steps up and not only, like I said, is helping, you know, you for us that are, you know, business professionals, but you're doing it also for a good cause to help the youth, the generations. And like I said, I think that people like you are going to be the ones that help us. Like you said, you have to hack on our environments. We got to change our environments. We're not hunting gathering, guys. We're not out, you know, 8 hours a day trying to find food. We can just get it on an Uber Eats or whatever. We got to hack upon our environment. And I would always say, this is your best investment, is you. And so making you more productive, making you more happy, and alleviating any pains you have in your life, especially if it's something as simple as back pain that can be solved with a chair, is why we have incredible people like you, sir. Folks, you've been hanging out with Dr. Turner Osler and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real.
What's another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now. And Real Time Outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times, and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services. Little to no cost for most of the businesses, and some businesses, you know, you're gonna have to pay, but that's part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now, so take advantage of us. realtimeoutsource.com. check us out, and we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.